thank the Lord for being with you today. And you have a real burden from the Lord this morning. I ask you to pray for me. We know it's a very serious message, and I know it's going to be strong, but it's just the Word of God. And the Word of God is strong sometimes, but we need the Word of God to make it to heaven. I'd like to start reading in Matthew 5:17. I want to lay a foundation for the Ten Commandments. So I know it was in the Old Testament, but we want to realize that God did not do away with the Ten Commandments. And we want to start reading in Matthew 5:17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. I think those scriptures, those were Jesus' words, is pretty strong to realize that Jesus Christ is saying that God the Father that wrote these commandments, he did not do away with them. The difference is, I want to read a little saying, grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve. Mercy is when God doesn't give us what we do deserve. It's not that he did away with it. He just shows more mercy. Under the law, if a woman was caught or a man caught in adultery, they were stoned and killed. Today, God will forgive. It's just, and even Jesus forgave, because he said, go and sin no more. But we want to go back to the scripture that says, ye have heard that it was said of them by of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Rechi, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar. Go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly. And then it goes on to say, in the 27th verse, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman unto lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. This is a spiritual meaning. So it goes on to say, if you read a little bit in the 31st, it hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife and let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Now this, if you read, there's another scripture, and I might quote some of scriptures by heart, but there says, if you do leave your husband or wife, it's better to stay with them. If they're not unsaved and they want to be with you, it's better to stay with them. But if it gets so bad that you can't stay with them, you are to remain unmarried. The only cause there is to marry someone else is if your companion dies. And if they die, you're free to marry only in the Lord. And this is scriptures in the, you know, a lot of people want to make a different excuses. But, you know, dear ones, we have to go to heaven, and we want to go by the Word of God. I want to read over in Matthew 15. I'm just laying down some foundation here. God has been giving this to me for a while now for this meeting. And I just pray that you'll just please pray for me. Matthew 15:1-20. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Now this was Jesus. For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother. And he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father, his mother is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father and mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition, ye hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. I just wanted to kind of lay a foundation here. I want to read Matthew 19. I have two more, and then I want to get into the commandments. And I just pray that you'll open your heart this morning, and that the Lord will help you to understand that God is a great God of love. He's a great God of mercy. And I'm not doing these commandments with any kind of nothing but the love of God in my heart, that God had given me a burden that we must keep his commandments. And if we do not keep his commandments, and we need to work on them, and we need to keep them, because God will favor us. He will show us great mercy. He will be with those people that keep his commandments. We heard a message yesterday morning on truth. Well, this is truth this morning. This is truth, that we are to keep God's commandments. Every one of them, all 10 of them, and that's the way it is. And I don't know, in the world, they cast aside some, but not the people of God. We do not. And we keep God's commandments. Matthew 19 and 16 says, And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. This is Jesus talking. He saith unto him, Which one, Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect. We heard last night something about perfection. Do we believe that we're supposed to be perfect? Like you say, but you know, you make mistakes, but that's not being sin. That's not sin. Okay? A mistake is not sin. And God looks on the heart. And God judges the heart. We heard about judging. You know, we could judge one another, but God looks on the heart. You know, someone might make a mistake, and they might go and pray earnestly to God and get forgiveness, and you're still holding them on that mistake. So we need to be very careful how we deal with one another, how we cover love and forgiveness in our heart, and be willing to understand that if we judge one too harshly, that same judgment may come back to us. And ask God to help us. And you know, we're all human, but God can help us to be what he wants us to be. And I thank the Lord for the word of God. So he said, What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But he was giving him an opportunity to be one of the disciples, to follow Jesus. But he had his heart set on his money too much. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions, and he was not about to sell his great possessions to follow Jesus. He made a choice that he would rather have the world, he would rather have the money, he would rather have things to live for God. Now, this does not mean a rich person can't go to heaven, because a lot of us are really rich. We're rich in this world. We have so much to compare to some people. It does, but not to set our heart on it, to love God priority, to love him most of all, to keep our eyes on him and be willing any time to do whatever He says that God, we love God most of all. Anything that we might possess here on this earth is just fleeting. We're going to die. We're going to be under the grave. We're going to be in the grave. We're going to be under the ground. And I know that's a serious thought and a solemn thought. But dear ones, what does it mean if you hang on to anything with this message? Is the Ten Commandments. If we're not obeying God's Ten Commandments, we cannot go to heaven. But God is merciful, and He's full of love, and He's willing to help us in every area of our life. He is willing to give us the grace to keep God's commandments. I know there's great favor for those that will keep His commandments. You know, it says the man went away sorrowful because he would not listen to that God. So I'm going to turn over to Galatians 5 and 14. You know, the Lord, it says here in 5 and 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under law. Now the works of the flesh, it goes on to say what those are, but it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against there is such, there is no law. In other words, there's no limitation to that. You can have all the love you want. You can have all the temperance you want. You can work on all those things of virtue you want. God can add all those things to your life. Thank the Lord. We want to go now. We pretty well think I've laid a foundation in God's Bible and Jesus' words. I want us to understand, because a lot of people say, well, that was the Old Testament. Well, God came to fulfill it, and He came with mercy. Thank God that we do not have to now still build an altar and put sheep on there or whatever, and lambs, and offer sacrifices, because Jesus' blood was that great sacrifice, and it paid for us our redemption to be living in this world free from sin. And saints, we live free from sin. We all that are saved live free from sin. And there's no other doctrine, that no other reasons, no other excuses for us not to live free from sin, because of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. The power of the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, A-L-L, all sin. I thank God this morning that I've been living free from sin for many years. And it's only because of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, we would be nothing. We give God all the glory. The brother instructed us this morning to give God all the glory, and we do that. We know it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. I want to turn over to Exodus and 24, this is amazing how God works with His people. And you know, as I was reading this, I've been meditating on it for quite a while. And you know, it's wonderful how God worked with His people back then, and He's still working with us. Exodus 24 and 12. We just want to think about how God talked to Moses and gave those commandments, and how serious it really is, because this is God we're dealing with. God wrote those commandments with His finger, and you know, that's very serious. If God wrote something with His finger, I think I ought to take notice of that. I think I ought to realize that this is serious. And Exodus 24 and the 12th verse says, and the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And then it goes on to say at the end, and the 16th verse, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days, and the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. That's a long time, wasn't it? It was like over a month. And you know, it just seemed like he was not only talking to Moses about the Ten Commandments. He had those written. He wanted to give them to Moses on the tables of stone. He had two stones, and he had graven those. We have a song that says, write thy law upon the tables of my heart, that I may keep thy statutes, Lord, and never from them part. In Hebrews, it talks about that God writes them on the tables of our heart, in our mind, in our heart. This is where we have them now. It's not a literal piece of concrete or something, or rock. But it's in our heart and mind to obey God's commandments, to obey what God wants. And then over here in the 18th, I read that, but Exodus 32. I'm going to turn that. Follow me a little bit here. It says that the children of Israel became weary because Moses wasn't coming back. It had been 40 days, see, it had been a long time. And they began to be unhappy, and they begin to think they wanted something to worship, so they're going to get this golden calf. And they went and complained to Aaron. And you know, I just thought about this. It says here in the 32nd chapter, it says, Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what has become of him. And they said, Aaron, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, we don't know what's become of him. I was just thinking about that, how important it is for the leaders in the church to be holy, to be godly, because people do watch you. People do. You may not think so, but especially the ministers, like was said, we need to give God all the glory. We need to fall on our faces and get messages from God and get serious about it. Oh, may God help us, and I know we are. I'm not saying the ministers aren't. I love all of you in the Lord, and I know God is working with you. I just want to encourage us how serious it is, because when Moses left, they just begin to drift. I was just thinking, you know, how serious it is for the ministers to teach the truth and teach the word of God to the people, because it's very serious. But you know, I wondered why Aaron listened to them. It came to my mind, I'll let you judge, but it came to my mind that Aaron was afraid of them. Aaron was afraid of those people, because I thought, why would Aaron tell them, bring your jewelry or gold or whatever you have, and I'll cast it, you know, we'll melt it, and we'll make this calf for you. I really believe, and I may be wrong, but I think that Aaron was afraid of those people, afraid that they would kill him. But dear ones, we're going to have to keep it so strong in our heart that we're going to live for God, and we're not even unto death, and I know that's strong. And I don't want to make any boasting, only in the Lord. But we got to have some made up minds to live for God and live well and make heaven our home and do the very best we can. And because we live and we move and we have our very being because of the mighty God. That is the only thing. Anytime our heart could go out, we could die. What are we? What is man that thou art mindful of him? We are just at the mercy of God this morning. But you know what happened. It says 6 days. No, I want to read there. It says, we don't know what's become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters. And bring all this gold. And we're just going to cast it into the fire. And we're going to make this calf. I'll let you make this calf. And the... here is Moses up on the mount talking to God, and God sees what they're doing, and they're making this golden calf. And they're dancing around it, and it's just awful. And God is very angry, and he wants to destroy them. And he tells Moses, the people, what they're doing, I just want to destroy. Here I'm up trying to, you know, give you the tables of commandments, and these people are already disobeying me. And they know better than this. They know they're not supposed to worship idols. They're not supposed to worship calves. We're not supposed to worship anything but the only true God this morning. He's the only one we're to worship. And it says, they rose up early in the morning, and it said, and they offered. And it says, down in the ninth verse of that same chapter, and the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God, and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power, with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains, and to consume them by from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath, and repent of this evil against thy people. And remember Abraham and Isaac and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and sayest unto them, I will multiply your seed. Dear ones, do you know that God remembers our forefathers?
Yes.
Even way back when, and even now, that closer to us, some that have died and went on when I was a young person, God remembers what they taught, what they believed in.
Yes.
And he looks and sees, are there men and women that will still carry the truth on, still believe and teach the truth?
Yes.
You know, I really appreciate this building, but you know, the building is us. It's in us. It doesn't matter if we worship over there, we worship here, we worship over there. It is in us. That's why God's looking for us. He's not looking for an image, a building or something. He's looking for a building not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, the temple of people that are living free from sin, godly people. That's what he wants to dwell in. He wants to dwell in you and I with the Holy Spirit. And I thank the Lord this morning. It says on, and you read here, it says, and it came to pass, and Moses returned and went down from the mount. And the Lord repented in the 14th verse of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. He gave him another chance. But there was some people that were killed over this, 3,000 men. Now, if you read it, it says, Moses turned and went down from the mount. And I'll tell you what, Moses wasn't afraid. He wasn't like Aaron. He was not afraid. He'd been in the presence of God for 40 days. He wasn't afraid of those people. He knew those people were not going to kill him. And he says, and Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand, and tables were written on both their sides, on the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is noise of war in the camp. It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. It came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, they saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses, angry, waxed hot. He cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. Now, when I read that, I thought, oh, my. But, you know, Moses was so overcome with anger to think that, what is the use? I've been spending all this time with God. He's wrote it with his finger. I have a scripture. He wrote it with his finger. And you're down here dancing around a calf. Dear ones, we need to get serious and really live for God. We don't need any idols. We don't need anything. Just pray that God will search our hearts this morning. We need to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind. He is a true God. He's a real God. We heard someone said, when we get ready to die, we can't hold anyone's hand. We can't depend on anybody else. We've got to face God for what kind of life we lived, for whatever we thought, for every attitude we had, every problem we've caused people, every single thing we're going to have to meet God, that it can be under the blood before then. If we really get close to the Lord and ask forgiveness, we are under mercy, like I read. Grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve. Mercy is when God doesn't give us what we do deserve. We want to remember as we read these scriptures that God is merciful and God is loving and He's full of love, and that Jesus loves you and that God loves you. We want to incorporate that in this message, that God is the God of love. But at the same time, we are commanded to keep God's commandments. So Moses saw that, and he and the tables were the work of God. And it said that when this is what Moses did. He cast the tables out of his hands and broke them beneath the mount. He took the calf which they had made. He burned it in the fire, ground it to powder, and strawed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink of it. Well, Moses was quite upset, wasn't he? And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. And they said unto me, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what has become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, bring it to me, break it off. They gave it to me, I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. Well, I think he'd have to do something. You don't just cast it into the fire and it comes out a calf. You have to shape it and work on it and all that. But there again, people try to make excuses. But dear God, help us, dear God, not to make excuses this morning. Moses saw the people, and then it goes on. Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me, and all the sons of Levi gather themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, every man his companion, every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. Now this is where mercy comes in. We don't do that. We don't go around and say, are you on the Lord's side this morning? And if you're not, we're going to just get our swords out and we're going to slay you. We don't do that. Because we're under mercy. We're under grace. But God knows your heart. He knows if you're on the Lord's side. You know, may the Lord help us this morning. We want to stay on the Lord's side. Oh, I thank the Lord for the gospel. I thank God for everything. I want to read just a little bit here in Exodus 31 and 18. I believe I missed that. I wanted to read that. A gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. That's how God, no man made up these commandments. God Almighty did. And they cover everything. They cover everything, so to speak, really. If you really look into them, and that's where we're at the look into them. Those that truly love God will make it their constant care and endeavor to keep His commandments. And those that relate to worship, gospel worship, is good influence upon all manner of gospel obedience, protection, mercy, and recompense for obeying the Ten Commandments. God's law, the streams of mercy. So if you keep God's commandments, you will have protection from sin. You will have mercy from God, and you will have recompense from God in this life and in the life hereafter. But in this life, God will show you mercy. When you call on the Lord, He gets His attention. You get His attention. When you live for the Lord, you call on the Lord, you're keeping His commandments, you're living holy, you get God's attention. And this is what we want. We want God's attention. Okay, we want to deal with now the foundation. We believe we want to go over here to Exodus 20 and deal with some of the commandments. Okay. The first commandment. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And a type and shadow of that today, what I brought you out of sin. I brought you out of sin, the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I saved your soul from sin. I gave you all the power to live free from sin. Then you went before me and you asked for more power to live a holy life, and I gave you the Holy Spirit within you. So what do I get for this? What does God get for doing this for us? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt love me. You know, we can say we love God, but if we do not keep his commandments, if we do not listen to the still small voice, then are we really truly loving God? Are we really truly loving God if we do not listen to what God tells us to do? Sometimes it's a very still small voice that God will tell us to do something. So if we listen, we'll hear. Love God. Oh, we could say a lot about loving God. Last night when I was reading this again, I cried. I got down and prayed and cried. I said, God, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry that those people treated you that way. I'm just sorry, God, that people treat you this way. I'm sorry that there isn't more people saved. I might not say the exact words. I might add some this morning. But that's what I was saying. I was feeling sorry for God. You say, why would you feel sorry for God? He's God Almighty. I feel sorry for God because the way people treat him. Jesus done everything. He died on the cross and shed his blood. And some people just completely ignore the fact. All they think about is enjoying everything they can get in this life. And you know what? I enjoy life too. But I always want to put God priority first. And enjoy things that's in the limitations of these Ten Commandments. Because if we don't, we won't be happy. We won't be truly happy. When we lay ourselves down at night and shut our eyes, we can't really think about, well, you know, I don't have anything to worry about. If I die tonight, I'll go to heaven. I don't have nothing to worry about because I keep God's commandments. I do everything I know to do. I'm clear with God. That's wonderful. What can we trade for that? But if we don't have those feelings, we need to get that in our heart. You know, it says loving God. Loving God by proving your love. You know, people can say, I love you. But if they don't prove it by their actions, by the way they treat you, they can say, well, I just love you. I love you. I love you in the Lord. I love you so much. But you know, they don't treat you very nice. They don't do nice things. They don't say a kind and cheering word to you. They're never there to help you out. They never text you anything about caring about you, praying for you. You never hear from them. But then they say they love you. Well, what about God? If we love God, don't we talk to God? Well, don't we communicate with him?
Yes.
Well, we need to love the Lord. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. I might quote this because I'm not sure just exactly, but it's in there. But when he told them to worship him and make an altar, he said, do it. That's if I get this right. Do not do it out of hewn stone. H-E-W-N. Hewn stone is taking a chisel and cutting it or forming it or an axe to that rock. He didn't want anything, even in worshiping him, even putting the sheep on there or the lambs and offering a sacrifice. He did not want that chiseled out into any kind of statue or any kind of anything that would give a form. Just get you a big rock and throw it on the pile. Leave it alone. Don't cut it. Don't make no... God does not want any kind of image. He doesn't want... And we know there's religions out there that have images. And they worship them. But God doesn't want that. He only wants to be worshipped. That's one of the second commandments. No images. And he says here... And then it goes on to say, Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. I was thinking about the three Hebrew children. What did they say? The king said, when you hear that music and you hear all that, it's in Daniel, when you hear that sound of music, I want you to bow down to this idol that I've set up. And they said, king, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. We're not even going to think about it. We're not even going to take a moment to think about it. Because you know what? We are not going to bow down to your idol. Even if you put us in a fire furnace. Dear ones, what about us? What if someone told us, bow down to this idol, and if you don't, we're going to kill you. We're going to put you in fire. Are you made up your mind? Could you say, I'm not careful to answer you this. Because you know what? My God will deliver me one other way or the other. He'll either deliver me out of the fire, or he'll deliver me out of your hands into heaven. But you know, one thing you're going to know about me, you're going to know that I will not bow down to your altar. I will not bow down to your image. No, I won't. Because I know that I am not to do that. That I am only to bow down to God Almighty. And he is the only one I will serve. And we can say that today with a firm resolve. Praise God. And then it goes on to say, and thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, showing mercy and to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments, showing mercy. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now, as I'm studying this and the commentaries and different things, there's a beyond swearing, which swearing is terrible. We do not take God's name in vain. And if you are not saved and you slip up and do that, ask God to forgive you. You know, you can ask God to forgive you even when you're not saved. If you do something that bad, don't get in the habit of being so bad to use God's name in vain. He is the God Almighty. He created us. He gave us our life. And by words, and using God's name not respectfully. You know what I'm talking about. People do that. They hit themselves and they'll say, oh. And they might not say God's name in vain, but they just say God in not a respectful way. Ask the Lord to help you. How do you do that? Do you do that? And another way that we could use God's name as vain is professing to be a Christian and vainly being a hypocrite. And you're using God. You're telling people, I'm a saint. Look at me. Maybe you're dressed completely right. Maybe you come to Monterey completely right. And you say, look at me. I'm just one of you. But you're a hypocrite. You're not living right. But you're using God to promote yourself. Using God's name in vain. Now to boo that, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. As I was studying this, 6 days God created the world. And the seventh day, He made it where we are to worship him that day. And there's some reasons, you know, we may be out of town, we may worship in another congregation. You know, we don't know what other people are doing, okay? Among the saints, I'm talking about. Just because you're not there every Sunday does not mean you're not worshiping God. You could be out working for the Lord in another congregation. You don't know everybody's lives. Or you may be somewhere where you can't go. You can still worship God that day. You can have church with your husband or your children. But the main, let's put it this way, the main habit of your life when you can is to honor God and be in service somewhere on Sunday. Because God hallowed that. Now I know that some people believe in Saturday and they did that, but when Jesus died on the cross, he arose from the grave on Sunday, and this is why people worship God, the Christians worship the first day of the week on Sunday, because of the resurrection. Amen.
And so he wanted us to remember, and this is what amazed me when I was studying this. He had a purpose. When we have feet washing, what is that to remind us of? Why do we do that? To keep humble, to remember that Jesus washed the disciples' feet, and he was the great God, he was Jesus, but he bowed down and humbled himself and washed their feet. And he said, remember Peter said, "Lord, you're going to wash my feet? No, I can't let you do that. You're my God. You're my great God. I can't let you do that, Jesus. You're my Savior." He said, "If I do not wash you, you will have no part with me." He said, "Wash my head. Wash my hands. It's okay." You know, but God was trying to show us to love one another and humble ourselves to one another. And keep the love flowing. We need to be very careful how we treat one another in ordinance service. To be respected to one another and love one another and be forgiving to one another. And then we have the ordinance service of the bread, the yeast bread, and the unleavened bread and the grape juice. We do not drink wine, real wine, and it does not turn into wine. No, it's grape juice. But it's to represent Jesus' blood. And that's why we partake of it. And dear ones, I want to say this with great mercy, because I know there's sometimes we can't make it. But dear ones, let's put forth an effort to try to make it to the ordinance service. Let's not cast it off, especially not all the time. Maybe there's sometimes, but let's not take it to think, oh, they're having ordinance service, so I'll go do something else. But if you can make it here, we're not judging anybody. If you can make it, it's good for us. The Lord has gave me so many blessings in ordinance service. Because, you know, and I haven't been able to make to everyone, and I'm not judging anybody. But, you know, I just want to encourage us to take part of this. God said, as oft as you do it in remembrance of me. I won't tell you who, but I was talking to one person one time before ordinance service, and they started weeping and crying, and they said, "You know, I want to go to ordinance service." And I don't think they had done any sin or anything. They said, "Will you pray with me? I just want to make sure." Some people stay away because they just don't know. They've made some mistakes. They don't know if they're real clear. And they got down and prayed with me and just earnestly cried and wept and got it all fixed up with God. And they went to ordinance service. So see, that was sweet. So I want to get back to this thought about why Jesus set it up that we worship God on Sunday. And we're worshiping God all week, but we worship God every day. But the habit of Christians attending service. 6 days I created the world. He wants us to remember the Creator. He wants us to remember the creation. You know, six. Everything is a reason. It's just like the yeast bread and the grape juice. It's a reason. It represents the blood. It represents the body of the Lord. He wants us to remember Him. God is a God of love, and He puts these signs out for us to remember. Not that we would forget, but people are prone to forget sometimes what God has done. He doesn't want us to forget. So He wants us to be in the habit of these things. And I'm just going over these the best I can, and I know I'm just human, and I'm sure you might have some other thoughts to add to this. But you let your mind go and just think about this. But it says here, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Honor your father and mother. How do we honor our father and mother? My dear mother is 85. She's still living. Now, I missed calling her yesterday because you wouldn't get to the campgrounds. I told her, "Sometimes I may miss you. My phone won't even work in the cabin. And my husband could call me, but I can't. I have trouble calling out. I can't call out. I haven't been able to yet, anyway. I don't think so. I know I have a lot of trouble. Let's put it that way. I want to make sure I say it right. And I can text, but it's hard for me to do that. So anyway, but I call my mother on a habit of trying to call her every day. Because there's such a distance. She lives in West Virginia. But honor your parents. Amen. Honor your mother and father. And there's a promise with that. That your days may be long upon the earth. You know, young people and children, Ephesians 6:1 says, honor your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You know, when we honor our parents and be obedient, we will get a blessing, even as children. Even as, you know, it says obey them in the Lord too. If your parents are not saved and they tell you to go steal, that's one of the commandments. You can't do that. But if they tell you good things to do, you are to obey your parents, honor your parents. And when they get old and feeble and they're not able to do what they can do, oh, it's such a wonderful blessing to have a good daughter or son that can help them. That's such a blessing. Dear ones, this is something that we need to really do, is honor our mother and father. They were there for us. If they were good parents, they were there for us when we were babies, when we were young, and we couldn't help ourselves. They carried us around on their hip. They fed us the bottle. They did all things for us. And then when we got older, they bought us clothes and they fed us food. They cooked meals for us. And then we get married and we go off. And sometimes we don't really remember that mother and father like we should. Do you send them a birthday card? Do you care about them? Do you give them a call once in a while just to say I love you? Or maybe nowadays we have this text where you can just text a message. You know, it doesn't take very long to send a little message. But you know, God looks at a person that honors their parents. And even after they're dead and gone, we can honor them. We can honor them by going to the grave and putting flowers there. By respecting their memory and not talking against them and backbiting them. So we can honor our parents. You know, we have a Father God that we honor. And I think he wants to teach us this. He gives us, I think about the scripture, he said, I give you parents that they chastise you after to correct you. But I'm the God that corrects you because they do it to profit themselves many times. But God chastises for our own good. When he spanks us, it's really for our own good to make it to heaven. So, you know, this is one. Then it says, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. You know, we don't murder. I mean, most of us, some of us may have murdered. Maybe you were in war or something, you did murder. God has forgiveness for that. He has forgiveness for that. You do not have to let that hang over your head. I know that's bad. It's really bad. But Jesus' mercy here. We want mercy with his commandments. Jesus will forgive. But most of us have not done something like that. But we don't want to kill people's influence. You know, we never want to try to make our reputation look better by hurting somebody else's reputation. We don't want to kill people's influence by talking behind their backs, by backbiting, by gossiping and doing those things. Do not do that. Respect one another. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And we said quite a bit about that already, but thou shalt not commit adultery. Even Jesus took it a little further when he said in Matthew 5:27, if you just look on a woman. Now, saints, that's why the saints are taught to be modest people. And women, we have to be modest. And not only in the way that we conduct ourselves in our dress, but our actions. Our actions toward brothers. And brothers need to be respectful too. And we need to look at women in a different way. I'm ashamed of the world. I'm ashamed of the way women dress. But I cannot change the world. I cannot. All I can do is be me. I can't change anybody else except preaching the word of God. But I'm ashamed of the women in the world that dress so ungodly. But men, I want you to raise your estimation of women this morning. That women were created by God. Women have intelligence. Women have brains. Women are more than just a symbol. Women are created by God just like you were. We're equal in the sight of God. And, you know, we need to raise our thinking about women. And if we do that, we'll respect women more. And I know God can help us to do that. And you shall not commit adultery. It's very plain in the scripture. And don't commit adultery against God either. Thou shalt not steal. I was thinking about some different things. And I thought about, you know, we say, well, we won't steal. But we need to be very, very careful. What about sometimes, some people are not very good about returning things that are borrowed. They borrow something and they just don't seem to have a conscience of returning that item. I tell you, my own self, I really don't like to borrow things if I don't have to. Because you know why? Heavy hangs over my head. I got to think about getting this back to this person. And, you know, it bothers me until I get it back to them. And, you know, I'll say, well, that's not really stealing. But it's the carefulness we have in our lives. Do not just be careless. If somebody gives you a $50 bill to go buy something that maybe is $38 and that's all they got, they need some change. And sometimes people forget to give the change right away. Yeah, this has amazed me because when people give me money to get them something, there's some change. If it's only $2, I want to give it back. Now, if they say, you keep the change, okay, you're free. But if they say, bring me the change back, and you don't remember. And, you know, you don't really want to ask people, can I have my change back? But you know, we don't want to steal. We got to be careful. And it says here, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Tale-bearing, slandering, backbiting. You know, we could bear a false witness against our neighbor by saying something that we really don't know is positively true. And even if we know it's positively true, it might really be better if we didn't repeat it. Because you say, well, it doesn't hurt. I can tell my best friend. And you know what they say this? People say, I'm going to tell you a secret about something I know about somebody. Don't tell anybody, okay? You know how long that lasts? I'm just telling you, we're human. It's how long it lasts because I'll tell this other person, well, someone told me, but I was supposed to keep a secret. But I know you'll keep a secret, so I'll tell you. So please do not pass that on. And pretty soon we started a gossip that just went. Like if you had a dam and there was water and it just got a little hole in it and it's went out and those words have went out and that gossip has went out and you can't hardly retrieve it. May God help us how we deal with one another. Don't bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. You know, I was thinking about covet. It said, do not covet someone's house. Do not covet someone's car. Do not covet someone's wife. Do not covet someone's husband. Do not covet anything that's not yours. If it's your neighbor's, leave it alone. Rejoice with them. Rejoice with them. There's a lot of people. There's people in my family that have something I don't have. Yeah, they have something bigger than I have, more expensive than I have. You know what? I can rejoice with them. Doesn't bother me. I can rejoice with them. And there's people that don't have as much as we have. And we can feel pity for them or feel sorry for them and want to share with them. You know, it's in saints' hearts to want to share and love one another. But do not covet what somebody else has had. Do not envy what they have. Because from those things becomes jealousy. And then when jealousy gets in our heart, we don't treat them just right. I mean, you know, sometimes I've heard someone tell me this. This is just a story, but there's a real pretty girl that's going to school. And she's just real pretty. But she's real sweet, too. She's a really good girl. But you know what? The other girls, they don't want to talk to her. And they just go in the other group and they don't want to talk to her. They don't want to be nice to her. Why? Because she's too pretty? Because she's too sweet? Why don't you like her? See? It could be with a man. You could see a man, he's real wealthy and he's got this and that, and I just don't care for him. Why don't you care for him? Do you really know him? Or is it just because you know what he's got? It's envy in you and it's become jealousy, and so you just don't ignore him. Dear ones, we need to just not do that. I remember years ago, I won't go into all of it, but some of the older ministers, you know, I think it was Brother Allen. Someone had got a brand new travel trailer to go in the gospel work, and he had an older one, and he went over there to rejoice with them. He was really a good, sweet man, if you knew him. And Brother Allen actually baptized Jerry and I, and Brother Murphy Allen. And he went over to rejoice, if I got it just right. And he just was not jealous, and he was happy. Even though he had an old one, he was still happy. And come to find out, I guess they gave him their older one that was nicer than what he had. So see, he got a benefit from it. But if he'd have stayed home and not went to rejoice, he might not have got nothing. But you know, that's a story too, isn't it? Now, one thing I wanted to get, because I read the 20th chapter of Exodus, but I wanted to get the scripture. Maybe somebody can help me. But the scripture I want to get is, love your neighbor as yourself. Because the first commandment is to love God and also to love your neighbor as yourself. And you know, anybody got that scripture that can help me? Love your neighbor as yourself, for upon these two hang all the law. Pardon?
Mark 12:31.
Thank you. Because it just came to my mind. I want to make sure that I got that clear. Mark 12:31. Mark 12:31 says, let's read 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Let's read above that just a little bit. 28th verse of the 28th verse. One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, now this is Jesus' words, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now, we're going to call the saints, hear, O saints. Hear, O saints. The Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Not only saints, but anyone that's here, saved or unsaved. You need to love the Lord more. You need to love him more, dear ones. The saints, we can love him more. And if you're not saved, you can love him more by getting saved and giving your life to God and turning away and obey God's commandments, no matter how hard it is. This is the only way we can get to heaven. It's serious. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Dear ones, I want to love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind. I want my mind to be pure, godly, righteous, holy. I want to meditate on God's word. I want to be all what God wants me until he calls me home. I want to be everything God wants me to be. Dear ones, this is what God wants us to do. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. You know, it takes strength to work for God. But God can give you strength to do what he wants you to do. God can give you strength in your older age. I believe, was that Caleb that was 80 years old? And he said his eyes were not dim. And he was strong in the Lord. He was able to conquer and go out and conquer. And I know sometimes it's not that way with all of us, but still we can have strength to live for the Lord. We can be faithful to the Lord. And it said, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Is it hard for you to love yourself? Just ask yourself, is it hard for you to love yourself? Normally, if you're a normal person, it's not hard for you to love yourself. But is it hard for you to love your neighbor as yourself? See? So when we get in these tight places and we don't understand one another, maybe we can just pray to God, Lord, I'm understanding me because I love myself, and I understand me because I act a certain way and I have a certain personality, so I can understand me. If everybody was just like me in the church, it would be great, wouldn't it? Well, I'm glad that everyone's not like me. I'm glad I am me. I'm glad I'm just me. And I'm glad you're you, because you have strengths that I don't have, and I have maybe some strengths that you don't have. But God has gave us all personalities to work in the church, because you know what? Maybe my personality can feed certain individuals, and maybe your personality goes to certain individuals. That's why God sets all the members in the church of God as it pleaseth Him. As it pleaseth Him. Because He wants to work in the church. We want the Lord to work. We want God to be here, don't we? And you know, God will be here. God is here. And He wants us to love our neighbor as ourselves. We believe we have enough Word of God this morning to establish that the Ten Commandments are to be kept. And if there's any of those Ten Commandments that we feel like we need some help on, we need to ask the Lord to help us. And remember the scripture that I read, because we don't want this to sound too, well, Lord help us. The Ten Commandments is strong, okay? Let's put it that way. But I was trying to deliver it with lots of love. I really was. I want to deliver it that way, because God is love. And it said, grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve. Mercy is when God doesn't give us what we do deserve. God has had a lot of mercy on me to bring me to this point this morning. And He's loved me and He's helped me along. And I expect Him to help me on to my dying day. You pray for me. I love all of you. And I hope the Lord would give you grace to keep God's commandments.